tandem session, one week one and one part of another. It's one truth, and without the whole truth, the impact is lost. I don't know how long it'll take, but I feel to start early. I felt it yesterday to start early. I thought it's the only way. Maybe in the middle of it we'll take a break and sing a couple of songs. Maybe it won't take as long. I don't know. But I know that there are people who would come for great distances to get these kind of truths. And they would sit for 2 and 3 hours in seminars and be happy for it. And they're doing it. In the seminars in Spokane, they sat for a couple of hours, two and a half hours in the morning. By another 3 hours, 2.5 hours in the evening, they were sitting 5 hours a day. And they were happy to sit that long to get the teaching. It's important that we understand and that we get the teaching on these subjects and that we implement them. In these last days, God is going to cause His people, like Jesus did in the last days on earth. He spent the entire week teaching. It's the teaching implemented, absorbed, put into action that is going to gain the what is needed. The music, the testimonies, everything else will be used by God to motivate and enhance and so forth, and put the Spirit in a place to receive the teaching and to implement the teaching. But the teaching is God's mind in revelation to our hearts. This is lesson 8 of a series, Enter, Overcome, and Occupy. These are sermons on the victory through faith and obedience. Victory through faith and obedience from the book of Joshua, primarily. Open your heart to the message this morning and listen diligently and don't let your mind wander. Should we let the little ones go now or a little later? I guess you better let the little ones go to the children's church at this time if they'll make their way. Before we start the message this morning, I'd like to invite you to stand with me and ask God's anointing upon the message. Large congregations, the churches at large, have trapped themselves by a practice of listening to the word and then going out and promptly forgetting what manner of men they are, having looked into the mirror and have seen themselves in the wood, have gone around and forgot what manner of men they were because the mirror is no longer facing them. They have trapped themselves in listening and going out and promptly forgetting it and not putting it into action. And they have become dead, gospel hardened, until nothing can seem to shake them any longer. But we are not, hopefully, of those that will let the gospel harden us, but rather will let the gospel break us, and will put into action what is being preached as coming from God Himself, who loves us and is warning us and equipping us and feeding us that we might take the fruit and grow thereby. And many wonder why they do not grow. It's because they do not eat. So if you want to grow, eat. If you want to grow, eat the food and then exercise with the muscle it produces, and you will grow and grow strong. My message today deals only with one subject, circumcision. Last week we talked about crossing Jordan. Now we are in the land, and before we go out and fight all the giants, we must be circumcised. In the natural, the type is somewhat, the subject is somewhat obnoxious, I suppose. But in the anti-type, it's glorious and needful. And that's the way it is with most types. Most types are not much in themselves, very homely. But God takes the natural things and brings them into glory in the spiritual realm. Israel entered Canaan by crossing Jordan. They were obedient to God. by faith. Well, that was the only way they could be obedient, was by faith, because they could not do what God asked them to do. God had to roll back the Jordan as they would walk into it. Interesting that the water did not roll back ahead of time. They had to walk into it and let it open up. There's a double analogy here. Joshua, representing Christ, is a triple analogy, really. Joshua, representing Christ, you see, walking in, he opened the way for us. But as the priests, the ministers opened up Jordan for them, as the ministers' feet would touch it, it would roll back, and it was already rolled back for the people. The ministers opened up it for them. But then in the other analogy, we are called ourselves to be a whole kingdom of priests, and each one of us are therefore, as that priest, ought to step into the waters of death, and it will roll back as we walk into it by faith. You cannot do what God calls you to do unless you are obedient in your heart and step forward by faith to do that and watch the waters roll back. The entering into the blessing of the promised land was not optional. And so it is today. God commands us to receive blessings from above. It is not optional. See, it ought to be optional. It's up to me whether I want it or not. It is not up to you at all whether you want blessings. You are not your own. You are bought with a price, saith the Lord. Amen. And if you're not your own, it's not up to you to decide whether you want the blessing. God has commanded you to have the blessing. It's required for our benefit. It's required for the benefit of others in the flock. It's required for the benefit of those outside of the flock who need to come into the flock. It is therefore required to satisfy God. And God is not satisfied with his people living in misery. He is not satisfied with people living in fear and doubt and discouragement and sickness and poor, miserable, skinny, wretched, naked folk, deaf, dumb, and blind. He's not satisfied with that, whether you are or not. He is only satisfied with his people being well and in the glory. That's why he created us in the first place. It's not optional. But my, you wouldn't think you'd have to even give a command to have the blessing, would you? The first act after crossing Jordan, after setting the memorial stones, was circumcision. Now, there's no sense of being circumcised until our legal position is established and attested to by the memorial stones. But then, circumcision becomes an absolute necessity. And so I read you last week how that they came across and they were circumcised. The word circumcision, circumcision, cutting, means a cutting around. It's a cutting off of the outside forward flesh of the organ of generation, which produces the seed of life. Flesh produces flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, Jesus said. A man must be born again. Because of that, you are born of the flesh, and flesh produces flesh. But being born anathen from above produces a spiritual birth in which you are born of the Spirit, then the Spirit is generated, is begotten, is born, it comes forward into a life in the Spirit. Cutting off of the flesh, the old Adamic fallen nature, to give way to a new birth process. Corruption of sin usually ends up, as well as whatever other sin may be involved, the corruption of sin, we're talking about a life-giving organ now that is circumcised, a reproductive organ, a sex organ, usually ends up in an activity of the sex organ. And everything produces after it kind. Sinners begat sinners. Sinners teach their children to sin and become sinners. Corruption begats corruption. Circumcision is a purification of the organ of life. And the organ of life is man. God, having put life in him, brings forth life. And so man brings forth men after his own likeness and after his own image, according to this book of Genesis. Whosoever was not circumcised, cut off from the flesh in ancient Israel, was to be circumcised or cut off from Israel. He was not allowed to remain a part of the Israel of God. Either the flesh had to go or he had to go. Does that teach us anything? If you will not get rid of the flesh, you will eventually have to part company with the Israel of God. Because God will have no flesh. We are being changed from glory to glory, so in the meantime, there's still flesh. But as the flesh begins to go, eventually you'll end up without flesh, and God will require more and more and more flesh to go. Now, he requires it all to go, and he wants it all to go now. In fact, he wants it all to go yesterday. But he will require, as when you grow up and you require more of your children, the more glory that we get, the more flesh we must get rid of. Or to put it another way, as we get rid of the flesh, we get more glory. But as we grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ, we must end up to be obedient by the things which we suffer as Christ, until finally we are obedient in all things and be out-translated as any who walks with God. Circumcision is the seal and the sign of God's covenant with Abraham. And the Abrahamic covenant includes redemption for all people through Christ Jesus. In the book of Galatians, if you'll turn there, please, in chapter 3, verses 13 through 29. Now, some of you are just lazy looking at Galatians. Zip into Galatians. I got a lot to bring. Move on with full vigor. Circumcision is the sealing sign of God's covenant with Abraham. In Galatians chapter 3, you see, when you look for your word, don't be like the king who smote the ground three times with the arrow lazily. Get in and begin to move it. Let's get there, because we've got things to bring here this morning. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, the law was there to bring cursing, judgment upon all that disobeyed it. And the law was proper and right. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, being hanged for sin. But he was hung for everyone's sins. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the nations through Jesus Christ. Come to the nation, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Even in a man's covenant, you don't dare change a man's covenant. Now to Abraham and his seed, through Isaac, through Christ, were the promises made. He saith not unto seed as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. Now pay attention so you get the whole theology. I'm only going to give it to you once. And you'll end up knowing what you know about circumcision after it's finished. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. The law is not going to disannul the covenant I made with Abraham, which was before the law, through Moses, that it should make the promise of none effect, The fact that you're going to be, that the law was there to curse is not going to stop the covenant I made with Abraham. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then, serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, the only begotten son of true Abraham, Christ. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. The mediator was Christ. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. So if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. The law condemned all. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now we see that he is talking about a promise to Abraham, and talks about the law, and he talks about being baptized. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed. But his seed was one, Christ, but you are one also in Christ, one with him, if ye are Christ, and heirs according to the promise, even joint heirs with Jesus Christ the righteous. We're heirs of the eternal kingdom because of the promise. And the law that would stand to curse you, it will not stop the promise. Now, here we see the blessing of Abraham might come on the nations through Jesus Christ. Baptism, we see also, verse 27, is the anti-type of circumcision. Circumcision is a type, and baptism is the continuing of that type in the new covenant, and both of them point towards a sanctification, a separation, a cutting off of the flesh. Circumcision is the seal and the sign of God's covenant through Abraham. Water baptism is the seal and the sign of God's covenant through Christ. In the book of Colossians, just a couple of few chapters over, go to the back of the book. Colossians 2, verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised, it's New Testament now, ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, without human hands. The spiritual circumcision, in putting off the body of the flesh. The Greek does not say the body of the sins of the flesh. That's not in the best manuscripts. Of the sins is not in Aleph and B and A. It's in C, but not the better one. To put off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. See, spiritual circumcision, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, circumcision of the flesh was fulfilled in Christ's death for all the sins of the flesh, for the sins of Adam, man. The circumcision of the flesh was replaced with a new covenant circumcision, spiritual circumcision. The law was now transformed from the law written in tables of stone to the law written in the fleshly tables of our heart, as Jesus said. There is now to be a spiritual circumcision instead of a physical circumcision. In Deuteronomy chapter 16 for a moment, chapter 10 I should say, in verse 16, Deuteronomy 10:16. Now this was given clear over in the Old Testament. Circumcise, this is Moses, God talking to Moses to Israel. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Here he moved beyond into the grander truth. And even they were not to walk just after the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. So when they found the man who would walk after the spirit of the law, then he was a man after God's own heart. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Cut off anything of your heart, the flesh of your heart, anything that's in your heart. Anything that you've got here which is carnal and contrary to God, cut it off and throw it away. Are you willing to be circumcised in the heart? Christ was circumcised under the law on his eighth day to fulfill all righteousness. Christ was baptized in the River Jordan in the baptism of repentance to fulfill all righteousness. That means he took man's place in circumcision. He took man's place in baptism. He took man's place in praying before he went away. He took man's place in death upon the cross. And he took man's place in resurrection from the dead. He stood as man. He identified with his brethren, made of a woman, born of a woman, made under the law. He took man's place in Adam, who was fallen. He took man's place as the seed of Abraham, whom a covenant was made with and continued in Christ. He took man's place in fulfilling the old covenant and the law through circumcision and these other things. In the Old Testament, the church and the state were one. There was the if you were an Israelite in the old covenant, you could not be an Israelite without and civilly without being an Israelite spiritually. They were one. And that's the way God wanted it. Today we demand a separation of church and state, and it's really necessary in our land because the church isn't right. But God doesn't want a separation of church and state. He wants the church and state should be one, and the millennium it'll be so. And in heaven it'll be so. And if we had the proper church on earth, it should be so right here. We should be one nation under God, like our Constitution says. One nation under God, the highest authority. The church and the state were one, and the headquarters was Jerusalem. Now, because man will not walk with God as he should, the government has been transferred to the heavenly Jerusalem, which is above, the mother of us all. The earthly Jerusalem, the covenant made there, will come to pass in the millennium. Circumcision is a sign and a seal of membership, was a sign and a seal of membership into both the membership of Israel as a son of Israel and into the church of Israel. Membership into both. And now, for us, water baptism is a sign and a seal of membership into both. We are now baptized and this is our membership into the church and into the heavenly citizenship of the New Jerusalem. Let your conversation of Greek citizenship be in heaven. We are now citizens of heaven by reason of the new birth. We are sons of God. We've been transferred into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're in His kingdom. We are now in a kingdom. We are membership into a civil government as a kingdom and also into his church. Circumcision is a sign of a chosen people, spiritual Israel, prevailed with God, Israel. They were circumcised the eighth day, which means new beginnings. The seventh day ended a complete cycle, 7 days. And on the seventh day was the Sabbath, which points to the millennium, the 1,000 years of rest. 1 day is with the Lord, 1,000 years, 1,000 is 1 day. In the 7,000 year, the millennium, the eighth day they were circumcised to a new life. And after the millennium, we shall be completely, experientially circumcised, the whole church, into a new life. In heaven, there'll be no sin there, period, in any respect. That is a real, full, final fulfilling of spiritual circumcision. They then, at that time, had a new beginning in spiritual Canaan. They then, at that time, I should say, had a new beginning in Canaan. They were circumcised and they began anew with the flesh cut off in Canaan. Now, circumcision became a national ordinance under Abraham. Abraham was circumcised at the age of 90, the same day his son Ishmael was circumcised at 13 years old. And this points to the truth that all that come to Christ, whether young or whether old, coming to the new birth, Christ, must be circumcised, must be sanctified, must enter into a covenant relationship with God and be his covenant people, must put off the flesh, whether you're 90 or whether you're 13. Slaves that were purchased were required to be circumcised. And this points to the truth that everyone who's under our care must be spiritually circumcised. Proselytes into Judaism had to be circumcised. And that points to the truth that all we win to Christ must also be circumcised. This is not a circumcision of the elite. It's a circumcision of the kingdom of God. The Arabs still circumcised, as they always have, in the 13th year of the boy's life following Ishmael, the flesh, the law, works. Israel was circumcised the eighth day following Isaac, Christ, the spirit man. They were circumcised by the father who was the head of the household of faith, representing the pastor of the church. But if necessary, they could be circumcised by a woman. And if necessary today, the spiritual circumcision can be handled by a woman, like with Deborah the prophetess. If necessary, a woman can take that spot. And in fact, if necessary, any Israelite could circumcise. And if necessary, any one of God's people can do that same work. Debbie Stutzman, now in an outreach team, one-man outreach team over in Kuwait. For a while, the letters seemed to indicate that there wasn't any progress outwardly. And all of a sudden, the floodgates have been turned loose. They're getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and things are really moving. And she took a whole lot of them out and baptized them in the river in Jesus' name. And she did proper. She did the right thing. She shouldn't be doing that. No, she should have done that. She exactly did the right thing. I'm proud of her doing the right thing, though. Oh, anybody can circumcise. No, I didn't say that. Gentiles were not allowed to circumcise. Unbelievers were not allowed to circumcise. All the water baptisms that are being done today by non-born-again ministers are invalid. They don't mean one thing to God. Sorry, but that's the way it is. You don't have to be baptized by the pastor, but you have to be baptized by someone who's born again. Circumcision was required before they ate the Passover lamb and the unleavened bread, Christ. Before you can begin to partake of the divine life of Jesus Christ, you've got to be circumcised. There's got to be a legal circumcision. And then you've got to begin to let the water, washing the water of the word, begin to circumcise you experientially. There has got to be a certain circumcision of the heart that the Holy Ghost does at the time of conversion, in which you are, old things have passed away and new things, all things become new, a new creature in Christ Jesus, born from above. That part must be done in giving you a new heart and a new attitude, making you a new man to start with, before you begin to read this word of life and imbibe it. And it doesn't do the same thing before you are saved as afterwards, does it? Circumcision fell, the practice of circumcision fell into disuse during the trek and wandering in the wilderness. And this is exactly what happens today. Our spiritual circumcision, when we come and we cut off the flesh and die to self and press into God, when we walk and we're in the wilderness, the spiritual wilderness, it falls into disuse. There are churches out here today that are in a wilderness, and there's no spiritual circumcision in the assembly. People are not dying to self. They are not putting out the sins of the flesh. Nobody's going to touch their flesh, or they'll quit. Well, their flesh will rear up and let them have it. The minute anybody tries to touch their big, beautiful, big, fat flesh, great, big, huge, bloated babies is what they are. No legs. They can run. No arms with any muscle. Big, huge, fat, flabby stomachs with big, huge mouths, and they can cry and can they wail, and you're not going to touch their big, fat flesh. It's a sad picture of the Church of God. And I say that in all, with all due respect, with no heart of criticism. I do not say it to malign. I say it's a horrible picture that's the body of Christ at large in this day and age. But thank God, as if he has his 50s by caves and caves, he's got his people who will follow him, and others will more as they learn to get into it. Some Jews began to, who were athletic, wanted to enter the Grecian games. They wanted to get the glory and the wreath from it. They wanted to get the acclaim of man. They wanted to get their skill in, but in the Grecian games, and they were pagan, don't love Greece. People, you know, history books teach everybody to love the glories of Greece, but it was all big fat flesh and sin. And in the pagan Greece, they operated in the games naked with nothing on. And Jews were despised by the Greeks. And so the Jews who were circumcised and had to go into the games naked would have surgery performed on them so that they would undo the circumcision, so that others would not know they were Jews and hiss and boo them and vote them down. And that would represent our sons, that defect, and go out into the world and do not want the world to know they are sons of Abraham. Go out on their jobs and laugh at the dirty jokes and live, and so nobody knows that they are sons of Abraham. They want to uncircumcise themselves, and everything they do in the spirit and so forth, they want to undo out there and live after the world, and they want to undo the spiritual circumcision and come back in here and take the stitches out and become circumcised again. And it doesn't work because God sees. There were proselytes from Greece and from other areas, the heathens, that became proselytes to Judaism, that became circumcised. And they, when they decided to turn from Judaism and go back into the heathenism, and to be re-assimilated by their race and custom and so forth, they also had this surgery to undo the circumcision. And they would be as you would, they would be typed, if we would use it as such, it's not a biblical thing, but it's a historical thing, they would point towards converts that come in and then become spiritually circumcised and backslide and go back out and undo the circumcision that they did and live out for the world. There seems to be some reference to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Now, more often, depending on the circumstance, more often this was done, this was hid, not by surgery, but by continually stretching the skin so that they would be, so that they would end up uncircumcised again, to hide the circumcision. 1 Corinthians 7:18. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. In the New Covenant, there was no reason to try to, if you're a Judaizer, and if you've been in Judah, if you've been a Jew, and as to religion, and you've come into Christ, you don't have to stretch your skin and hide the fact that you were a Jew. Christ was a Messiah to his people. You don't have to become, try to become uncircumcised. And if you're circumcised, and if you're not circumcised, you don't have to become circumcised. This is in the natural. We have now moved from circumcision as to water, into water baptism. Now, circumcision was a special badge of a covenant people. It shadowed the sanctification by the Holy Spirit in the heart at conversion. I didn't say they were filled with the Holy Ghost at conversion. You're not. A lot of people are confused at this. They say, well, I believe you're baptized in the Holy Spirit at conversion. On what grounds? The Holy Ghost doesn't, the Bible doesn't teach that. Well, I felt the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, nobody said you didn't. He's not with you, but shall be in you, the Scripture says. But are you positive that you know the difference in feeling the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the change of the Holy Ghost when you're not yet filled with the Holy Ghost, but are born again, and in the same Holy Ghost working in you after you're filled? That's the point. Well, I felt the Holy Ghost work in me. Absolutely. The Holy Ghost does the work in the heart at conversion. God, the Holy Spirit, does a work. You are born from above. Spiritual new birth. But you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. He hasn't filled you with His presence. He does not reside within, but He does a work in your heart, or you would never be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you feel that work, but that doesn't mean you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Circumcision is makes a covenant distinction between God's people. And a spiritual circumcision makes a covenant distinction. God's people all can be seen from those that are not God's people by the fruits, by the life they live, by the holiness and sanctification. Circumcision is an abiding sign of consecration. It continues with them. It's an abiding sign. We must carry the seal of our spiritual circumcision, the cutting off of our flesh, forever. We are called to be sanctified, set apart experientially, not just baptized legally, and not just a one-time act. This, we are to carry the results of it throughout our life. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, we see baptism realized. You are not only to be baptized, actually, but that baptism is to be realized in your life, an experiential day-by-day walk. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, and the two words in Greek for conversation, one means citizenship and one means behavior, and here's behavior, they're tied together. That ye put off the former behavior, that's due to your conversation, your citizenship, of course, the old man. Put off your former behavior the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now that's what baptism is all about. You put off the old man and you rise to walk in newness of life. But this is baptism realized in the Christian walk. We must realize our baptism. The scripture teaches us in Romans not just to be baptized legally, but after you're baptized, to sin and alive unto God. And now that you're dead to sin, live no longer in it. It is not only to be enacted, it is to be realized. We must put off the old man so that we can be led of the new. Do you need a break? Many Christians are like a man in a Civil War day who goes with the right side clothed in the right side clothed in the blue Union suit and the left side in the gray Confederate suit. What do you think of a man walking down the street that way? He had cut two jackets apart and sewed them together, so in the hat and the whole works, so this side was blue and this side was gray during the Civil War. See? Got to get shot from both sides. Neither one of them would really be satisfied with him. And that's the way it is with some Christians. The devil's not satisfied with you and God's not satisfied with you. Your suit split down the middle. You cannot serve General Grant and General Lee at the same time, Christ said. And that's in the modern version. You can't serve both generals at the same time. They're giving you opposite orders. You'll end up in suicide. Struggling against yourself. That's why Christians are fighting against themselves. They're fighting on both sides at the same time. They're having a terrible struggle. You ever try to put both hands together and you don't get any place? It's called dynamic tension. But as far as trying to push the other one over, neither one subdues the other. They both stay about equal. That's why some people's flesh and spirit are locked in like that and they just can't seem to get any place. They won't decide which suit they're going to put on, the righteousness of Christ or the devil's suit. Don't die in Adam. Rise to walk in newness of life. Take the old dead Adam up and put him in your pack sack and carry him on with you, so when you leave Jerusalem, you can put him on when you go out to Fort Corinth to work for the day, for the week. See? That's what a lot of Christians do. They die to Adam, rise in Christ, take Adam and put him in the pack sack and lug him around in case they need him to put on at any time. Leave him there, at the bottom of the river. Let's look at Exodus Chapter 6. I think before we do, I think we'll give you a little break, Joe. Let's stand. Let's come up and sing a song to praise the Lord or something along these lines. I'm not sure what. Wow, that's not my field. Friday night, Sunday night, we pray for various people here from time to time, I suppose 40, 50 at a time. Almost every single person we pray for has been getting healed week by week. And God's just done thousands of healings of the body, and He's been doing just hundreds of healings of the souls. Amen. Exodus chapter 6.
verse 30.
Moses, about ready to go down to Egypt and deliver God's people. Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me?" Now Moses was not yet circumcised. He was circumcised later, on the way down into Egypt, to deliver his people from Egypt by his wife. And so Moses is saying, in essence, how can a man who is not circumcised talk like a circumcised man? How can somebody out of the covenant talk as though he's in the covenant? How can an uncircumcised man be believed when he talks like a circumcised man by the world? And this is the same question that we must ask ourselves. How can we who are uncircumcised in heart go out and say, "Thus saith Yahweh, you demons, I command you to go. Release Satan, you king of Egypt, king of sin. Release God's people. Where will the demons listen to me if I am not circumcised in heart?" When you deal with forces, it's important that you not bundle out there in all the uncircumcision of your flesh and try to tackle all the demons in hell. But when you're circumcised in Christ, legally and experientially, and the righteousness of Christ is yours, and you have got everything clean, and you're walking between you with God and got power with God and anointing with God, you can deal with the forces of evil, and they must leave. And you can deal with hearts out there that are bound and deliver them. Whereas if you're just out there with uncircumcised lips and heart, trying to argue them into it, I've seen a lot of Christians are trying to argue people into it, uncircumcised in heart, arguing. All they do is argue and argue and argue. They're calling it witnessing for Christ, but they're not witnessing Christ at all. They're not showing Christ. They didn't even see Christ. All they heard was that old stubborn flesh argue and fight with them over head knowledge of which was right, the Bible way or that way, and that doesn't lead them to Christ. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. Jeremiah 6 and verse 10. "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it, or is requiring me to do a lot more." Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ, pay the price, move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. "Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it, or is requiring me to do a lot more." Instead of, Praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ, pay the price, move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it, or is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it, or is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it, or is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ, pay the price, move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it, or is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Oh, it's requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ, pay the price, move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Oh, it's requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ, pay the price, move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Oh, it's requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ, pay the price, move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Oh, it's requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Oh, it's requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ, pay the price, move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ, pay the price, move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ, pay the price, move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Or is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ, pay the price, move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Or is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Or is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Or is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Or is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ, pay the price, move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ. Pay the price. Move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. All is requiring me to do a lot more. Instead of, praise God, if he wants me to do this, move in this area, amen, brother. And there are a lot of uncircumcised ears out in Christianity today, and they cannot hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. They have no heart to become really like Christ, pay the price, move in. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Circumcised. 3 years shall it be uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of you. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to the praise the Lord withal. Now, it shall be holy in the next year. And then in the fifth year shall you eat the fruit of it. That you may yield unto you the increase thereof, I am the Lord your God. The first, literally, the Hebrew says literally, it shall be uncircumcised unto you, literally, ye shall circumcise it. That is, you shall cut it off and not eat it. Not just leave it sitting there to rot, but you shall cut it off. For 3 years, when they see the fruit, they just cut it off. Throw it away. Keep it cut off. By pinching it off, the new fruit is small and stunted and tasteless. The new tree. But if they will cut it off for 3 years, it will produce bigger and better and sweeter fruit for the rest of its life as a tree. It's an agricultural truth, according to the experts. I'm taking their word for it. Now, Jesus, as the tree which would bring fruit, as he ministered and so forth, although he said, he that is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, but it says in John 7:39 in parentheses, he didn't tell them, but this spake he of the Spirit, that they which believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He said in John 16:7, I think. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the comforter shall not come. Although he offered the woman at the well living water, and she said, give me this water, he could not give the water when he offered it. When he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, he was likewise a prophetic anticipation breathing. They did not yet receive it until he was glorified. And so during his 3 years of his life, three and a half, or three full years before the fourth year, they could not really eat of Christ and partake of him. He was teaching them, but they could not really enter into the experience of newborn experience like we did. But after he died and rose again in the fourth year, he then was considered holy. And in the fifth year, which is the number of grace, they could partake of him. For 3 years, they could not. In the fourth year, in which he was cut off, three and a half, in the fourth year, he was holy. And after that, they could partake of him in the year of grace. And the first 3 years of Christ's ministry were under the law. The next 2,000 years was under grace. And there was more fruit under grace because he was cut off when he was under the law. Colossians 2:11, going then into the truth then of water baptism being the New Testament counterpart for the Old Covenant circumcision. Colossians 2:11. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, whereby you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. And here we find the word putting off. Putting off. And putting off the body of the flesh. This is a positional truth. We put off him. We come into Christ, we put off the flesh. It's a positional truth. We come into Christ, and legally and positionally, we have put off the sins of the flesh. Our sin nature has been judged by Christ's death. We identify with Christ in his death. We share with him in his death in baptism. Our circumcision actually is Christ's circumcision imputed to us. He cut off everything, standing as man, for man, he cut off everything of the flesh. Had nothing to do with it. That circumcision is imputed to us, and our circumcision in water baptism is Christ's circumcision imputed to us, legally at that point, because we haven't done a thing in ourselves. Now, his circumcision that's imputed, I don't mean his legal circumcision, his actual circumcision at eight days, I mean his circumcision on the cross, it being cut off. It was cut off during his lifetime, and not obeying any temptation, but obeying God, and then the final cutting off, in which he said, "It is finished, Father," learning obedience and coming to perfection in all things, obedient in all things that were required. His last thing to be obedient in was the cross. Now he had to be obedient to the cross, which came his way. And having cut that off, it's imputed to us. And we see this truth in Romans chapter 6, in verse 10. "For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." And then in chapter 8, in verse 3, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit," which is God in us. Now, as we identify with Christ in his death, so also we identify with Christ in his resurrection life. You notice in Colossians 2 and verse 10, the verse just before what we read here about circumcision, he says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." We are complete with him, which means we also share with him in his fullness, positionally and provisionally. We put on the new man, Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." When we die to the old man, the old Adam, we put on the new Adam, Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. And because he arose, we shall rise also, Jesus said. And then in verse 12, the verse afterwards, we read, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him," in baptism now, "through the faith of the operation of God." This is an operation of God. And we have faith in the operation of God, not in the operation of ourselves or man, but the operation of God. And what he did in Christ's death, we don't have faith in what we do in the water. We have faith in what we do in the water because we have faith in what he did in Calvary. And the only reason we have faith in Christ dying on Calvary, because a man dying for your sin doesn't save you. The only reason that you have faith in that is that we have faith in the operation of God who saw the lamb sacrifice and accepted it. There are some people scared to death to have man die on Calvary. They say, "Oh, how can the blood of a man be efficacious for the whole world?" Then you've got man as a Savior, brother, and if Jesus died as a man on the cross, then man died for the whole world. And how can man can't save the world? And so we have God dying on the cross. Boy, you sure did get yourself in a predicament in doing that. Not understanding it, you now not only have God dying, but you have God saying unto another person of God, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And now one God becomes the God of another God. My, you got yourself in a real jam. Now, the truth of the matter is, his blood never touched you. It spilled on Golgotha in the Eastern Hemisphere. And it never touched those people, Abraham, either, because he didn't have any blood in him yet. And it didn't touch you, and it's not flowing on top of you, washing away something called sin. Sin is an action that stems from the heart. It's not a thing that can be washed. He's speaking figuratively. He talked of his death. He talked of his blood. He didn't have magic blood. People running around with all their superstitious, middle-aged magic blood in the veins of so many quarts that somehow was supposed to be reaching you through the ether waves or something and then for washing your sins off. That isn't what happened. He was a human being. He had a blood like anybody else. It wasn't magic blood. And if it was magic blood, then God had blood, or else it was a man who died. And either God has flesh, or it was a man's flesh that was pierced. And he gave up the spirit, either gave up the human spirit, or gave up his own spirit, eternal spirit, and ceased to live. But that isn't what happened. A man spilling blood for a world doesn't make the world clean. A man dying on a cross or any place else doesn't save the world. But God saw the death of his son in the expiation, and it pleased God to bruise him, the flesh, the Bible says, the Son of God. And God was satisfied, it says in Isaiah, at the death of his son. When he saw his son was bruised, God is the Savior of the world. He saw the lamb sacrifice, and Christ was the Lamb of God. And God, offering his son as the lamb, forgave the world as to God, because there was a man born under the law, and it must be man who died for your sin, not God. It must be man who was born after the law as Adam, and yet who, contrary to Adam, did not sin, and then give himself vicariously in your stead, like Moses wanted to do before Israel, to blot his name out in the book of life, so Israel could be saved. And then God, seeing that sacrifice, God forgave you because of the lamb. And now you got man dying, which is right, instead of God dying. And you have man praying to God, and you end up with God saving you as the Savior. Yahweh is the Savior. It says in Isaiah, beside him there is no Savior. And he saves you through Christ, the Lamb. Jesus is called the Passover Lamb in John, not the Passover God. And that makes it all straight. Now, we have faith through the operation of God that because God raised Jesus, and he raised him so he could raise us. Now, if he bruised Christ and raised him for the primary purpose of raising us, then will he not raise us? Or will he make his son die in vain? He rose him that we might raise also. The whole purpose of his dying and raising was that we might come to him. And so therefore we will come to him, because we have faith in the operation of God through Christ, therefore for us. Because Christ was not, this was not done to him outside of us. What is Christ, therefore by inheritance as he ascends, by the Father, is ours too, in Christ, because we are in Christ, and being in Christ, we are his body, and he's the head. And when you get an inheritance, it's not just for the head, the body and the head all share the inheritance alike, and whatever is his ours. So the Bible teaches, we join heirs, equal heirs, with Jesus Christ the righteous. Paul refused to consent to circumcise Titus, because the legalists of his day were demanding it as a requirement. Just because you came to Jesus, there's no sense you can get away from circumcision. So you got to circumcise him. Paul says, I won't do it. But Paul did circumcise Timothy, because he didn't do it because the legalists were requiring it as a necessary act. He did it because he was going into the synagogues and he wanted to witness to the Jews, and he couldn't get into the doors unless he was circumcised. And having gone in, he therefore could witness to them of Christ. And he did it on the grounds that we know that an idol is nothing. That neither circumcision nor uncircumcision in Christ made us anything. In Galatians, just for a moment here, in Galatians 5, back up a few verses, two pages, Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, that is because you require it, and it's part of your life, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. And if you become a legalist, and you decide that you've got to be circumcised, and you've got to keep the Sabbath day, and so forth, which is a shadow of things to come, but the substance is Christ, then you are a debt. You then say, I do not believe that in Jesus is my circumcision, and in Jesus is my Sabbath rest. I believe it's a law requirement, and therefore you put yourself back in the law, and you must do the whole law, or you'll be judged by the law. It's a pretty serious thing for these Sabbath day keepers to come around demanding that you put yourself back under the law again. They don't know what they're saying. It's like a person coming around demanding you begin the law alpha lamb sacrifices again. No, sir. If you do so, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, since you have crucified him afresh, because you say, no, he is not the ratification of the Passover of the lamb. Therefore, I must offer lambs again until the new Savior comes. There is no more sacrifice. You've just rejected the only sacrifice there is, Hebrews 10. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you that are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We, through the Spirit, wait to the hope of righteousness by faith. You're not going to do it by the law. For in Jesus Christ, and now, before I go on here, let me take you to verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Somebody's giving you some leaven. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall be beareth his judgment, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I not... then in verse 12, I would they that were even cut off which trouble you. These legalists that come and try to bring you in the law, I would they were cut off. They're just hindering, they're leavening the whole lump. I'm sorry, but that's what we experienced. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. But neither Titus, who was with me, you say, well, they're wonderful people. Yeah, these were wonderful people, too. They loved Jesus, but they were bringing back under the law. And that cannot be. You're taken away from Jesus. Ignorantly, yes, but it is horrible. The Adventists, they are sincere and they love God, but they are putting people under the law. And I can't help how wonderful people they are. There's a lot of wonderful people out in the world. But you must accept Christ. And you must not take away from the work of Christ. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in private to spy out our liberty, what we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave no place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel, the good news, might continue with you. See. Now, but Paul did circumcise Timothy on the grounds of Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. That didn't avail anything either. But faith, which worketh by love. So it didn't make any difference. Circumcised or not circumcised. I can circumcise Timothy because it didn't make any difference. But if you require it, now it makes the difference. But faith, which worketh by love. He said the same thing in chapter 6, verse 15, except with a little different twist at the end. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creature. Faith by love will bring you into a new creature, not by the law. Baptism replaces circumcision. Circumcision cuts off some flesh. Baptism buries all flesh. Baptism buries all flesh with Christ in union with him, and we are risen with him into a newness of life, washed, not sprinkled, but completely immersed. You buried him. We didn't sprinkle dirt on the old man. We put him under, and we rose to walk in newness of life, completely washed. That's why sprinkling just breaks the type completely. He said, well, I don't think God cares how you do it. Well, I do, because he said how to do it. He said, be ye baptizo, not be ye run tizo. And baptizo is immersed, and run tizo is sprinkled. And when you sprinkle a person and say, I now baptizo, you did not baptizo him. You run tizo him, and he never asked you to run tizo any man. He said, baptizo him. So you run tizo and say, I now baptizo you. That's not baptism. Baptism is nothing but a transliteration of baptizo. And you have not baptism when you run tizo them. And if you have been baptized by immersion, you have not been rebaptized if you were sprinkled. You're being baptized for the first time. The first time you were wrong, Tito. He didn't ask for that. That's the way it is. The type is you're buried with Christ in baptism. I told that to a Lutheran pastor one time who was worried about me rebaptizing his people. He's now the president of a Bible college out here. And I told him that. And he had no argument. He said, when I'm done, I told him, I'm not rebaptizing. I've never been baptized before. I gave him the word and I explained it to him and went through the whole process. And his head went up and down. And he knew there was no argument against it. And the only thing he had to say, well, is salvation become words and symbols? I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if I offered communion with graham crackers and buttermilk, would you accept it as a valid communion? He said, no. I said, brother, salvation become this, words and symbols? He said, well, we changed baptism from the days of Martin Luther. Martin Luther were even sitting and immersing babies. We changed it because we felt there was too much emphasis put on the mode. And I said, well, no man has a right to change what God has put. And you can't put too much emphasis on what God put emphasis on. But I said, if that's the reason you changed it, then maybe we ought to change also now communion. We've been putting a lot of emphasis on the blood and the bread for a long time now. So why don't we change that? I said, to put another way, maybe you should change back to immersion now because you've been putting a lot of emphasis for a good many centuries on sprinkling. Jeremiah chapter 9. I'll try to be finished one of these days. I don't know how I can split this up and get to you in two sessions, so I'll give it to you in one. By the time you get to heaven, it won't make any difference anyway. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. In other words, Israel was circumcised in the flesh, but not in the heart. The Egyptian priests copied circumcision, probably when Joseph was in Egypt. And so there are ministers today that are in Egypt too. There are Egyptian priests. They call them father, spiritual father. They call them reverend and the most reverend and the most right reverend and all the rest. But they are not spiritually circumcised, many of them. And he says, the day will come when I will punish those that are circumcised in the flesh, but not in the heart, and also those that are not circumcised at all. In other words, I'll punish just because you're circumcised ecclesiastically. He said, you're going to be treated just like the heathen. 925, Jeremiah 925. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 5, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Even when we were dead in our sins, we've been quickened together. Now, as Christ's resurrection was a quickening from the dead, even as Christ's quickening proved that he was delivered from the sin that was laid upon him. See, he died for our sins. He went to separation from God, who forsook him. But the fact that he rose from the dead was proof that God had delivered him from the sin that had been laid upon him, our sins. So our spiritual circumcision, our spiritual quickening by the Spirit proves that we are delivered from our sins. The proof of it is our spiritual quickening. Now, water baptism was a legal circumcision, but spirit baptism is to give power for an experiential circumcision in the heart. We are legally circumcised in water baptism, but then he gives us the Holy Ghost that we might have the power to become spiritually circumcised in our hearts. Our trouble is this, that at baptism, we sign a surrender. We sign the surrender agreement. We die to all flesh. We say, all right, take me out and shoot me and bury me. You can take me and crucify me. We accept the terms. He says, these are the terms. Christ has been after us, and we've been fighting him. But when we quit fighting him, say, all right, I surrender, Lord. We even sing, I surrender all. And he says, these are the terms. We say, I accept the terms. We sign a ceasefire. I'll no longer curse your name. I'll no longer blaspheme. I'll no longer take dope and do all the things you want me to do. I'll no longer fight against you. He who is not with me is against me, Jesus said. And he who loves the world and loves the Father is not in him. We sign the ceasefire, but then we continue to keep up guerrilla warfare. Just like they're doing out here right now in the Middle East, on Cyprus, in Syria, Vietnam, do the same thing. They sign the agreement and keep up a guerrilla warfare all the time. That's what we do. Why? For the same reason they do it. Because they are not one in heart, spirit, and in faith with the captors, with the victors. And that's our problem. We come to Christ for the loaves and the fishes, but we are not yet one in spirit with him and one in faith with him. And so with our conqueror who comes to subdue us, so we sign it, but we keep on fighting because we're not yet one. But he's come to make us one. Jesus' last prayer on earth was, Father, that we may be one. That they may be one, Father. We're not one yet. They're still fighting us. The spirit fights the flesh fights the spirit, and they're fighting, and they subdue to us, and yet they fight us. They surrender, but they keep on fighting. But Lord, that they might be one, they even fight themselves, Lord. But when they quit fighting one another, make them one among themselves, and one with me, and one with you, even as I am one with you, and then we'll all be one, then we'll quit fighting. And then you have the full Sabbath rest. Then you get the complete rest. Oh, what a relief to finally quit fighting. Love everybody, one another, love God, love Jesus, and his will is only your will. And all that turmoil of flesh and spirit inside is all gone. You're walking in the Spirit, and you want to only do what his will is. That's where he wants to take us. Amen. We've got to accept the new king when we surrender, and his government. We won't accept it, not fight his government as it comes in. Today, we want to come in, but fight his government. If you want to fight the king, you want to at least fight his government. When fighting his government, they're fighting the king. Oh, I'm not fighting. You're held up before the king. What's the trouble? This man disobeyed the governor. Oh, yes, but king, I sure love you. I want you to know, king, that I love you. I'll do anything you want done. I just love you. It's those people I have trouble with, but I don't have any trouble with you. Anything you want's fine. He said, well, what I want you to do, young man, is to obey the governor. That's why I put him there for. Oh, I have to obey him to obey you? Yeah, that's right. I put him there. Obey the lieutenants, obey the governors, obey the guard keepers, obey everybody I put in my government. That's over you. And if you don't love me, because that's what I want. Some people have forgotten that. They didn't know that. They're the type that, well, they only obey God. When men want to come in here and cause all kinds of trouble. And I told him, no, I told him not to come to church anymore. Well, he says, I said, don't you believe in obeying, being rejected to the pastor? Well, I believe in being rejected to the chief shepherd, to God. See? But not Hill. I said, well, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one who made the pastors, isn't he? That's what God said. So how can you deny those under God? Well, I won't obey my parents, but I will obey God. No, you can't do that. Jesus taught if you don't obey them in authority, you don't obey me, because that was his commandments to obey them. So how can you obey him? You violate his commandments. People are confused. Now, in the natural, to wrap this up, in the natural, circumcision is unnecessary since we've got the new book, which circumcision signifies, and the sanctification that accrues from it. Sabbath is also unnecessary because the Sabbath day, because we've got the real Sabbath now that the sign of the Sabbath pointed to. When a sign is going to take you there. Once you're there, you don't longer need the sign. We've got the true rest. Therefore, he said, let no man therefore judge you in respect to a Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. So he didn't come that we might have a shadow. He came we might have a substance. The shadow is just cast by the substance. You can't eat a shadow. You can only eat the substance. Circumcision is not natural to man. That is, God did not create a man circumcised. Circumcision is not a permanent health law. Circumcision was a temporary type. And circumcision does lose some of the advantages of the way God made man as he made man. He made him with a protection that was there for a reason. But it's a type. The fact of cleanliness does not overrule some other things. It's, women can clean their hair easier when it's real short. But the Bible still teaches the glory of a woman is a long hair. So the fact of how fast you can clean it isn't the point. You can keep long hair clean. You can keep short hair clean. You can keep uncircumcised or uncircumcised. I say that because a lot of people have children. They don't know what to do. And it's not circumcision isn't the necessary thing. And they quit circumcising back there when it came not necessary. There's some advantages in not being circumcised. So that's just for your edification. It's my opinion. Now, we're in Christ. I'm going to just say these and give you scriptures, but I'm not going to read them very fast. We are conceived and we're born. John 3:3-6. We are crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. We are dead with Christ. Romans 6:3 and 7:4. We are buried with Christ. Romans 6:4. We are risen with Christ. Romans 6:5. Also Colossians 3:1. And we are ascended in with Christ. Ephesians 2:5 and 6. So to enter Jordan, you've got Canaan, you've got to cross Jordan, we've got to be circumcised, we've got to be baptized, and then we've got to come into the sanctification.